Hey, and thank you for choosing the Miracle Channel podcast. Here you'll find encouraging messages from well-known speakers like Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer, Leon Fontaine, and more. The Miracle Channel podcast is made possible by the support of our donors who've partnered with us to see the truth about Jesus spread through Canada in a powerful way. Enjoy today's encouraging message.
Today I'm going to share something different. I just finished up yesterday a series that I was doing on living in the balance of grace and faith. I spent 4 weeks in that, and I tell you, it was really powerful. But because this is our Thanksgiving week, I'm going to start a series today talking about the effects of praise. I have a book on this in English and in Spanish, and then we have CDs and DVDs on this. And so this teaching on the effects of praise talks about how praise affects you, how it affects the devil, and how it affects God. And so I'm going to be talking about that today, also Thursday and Friday. And let me just say that this is one of the most important things. I can consider checking your praise life or your thankfulness. It's like checking your pulse. And you know, if a person looks like they're dead or something, one of the things they'll do, they'll check and see if they've got a pulse to see if they're alive. Well, in a sense, checking your praise level and thanksgiving level is an indication of whether you're healthy spiritually or not. And I know that that may shock some people, and you think, but I'm in a crisis situation. Well, the Bible says, and I'll get into this in more detail, but it says with thanksgiving, you're supposed to make every request known unto God. When the Lord told us how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, it starts with our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It says right here, let me read this in Psalms 100. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. This is telling you how you approach God, and it doesn't matter if everything's going good or if everything's going bad. Before you make your petitions known, before you come and tell him how desperate everything is, you need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth forever. And some people would say, well, I believe that, and I try and do that sometimes, but you don't understand. I'm in a crisis situation. It's desperate. I can't just enter in and start praising God when the doctors told me I'm going to die or whatever. You don't do that all of the time. Well, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I believe the reason he said, again, I say rejoice, is because there's going to be people respond just the way some of you did. You know, that you can't rejoice at all times. When you're in a bad situation, you can't come before God with singing and enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's the reason Paul said, again, I say rejoice, because he knew that some people were going to think, this is just impossible. You can't do this. And yet he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Just in case you think I was making a mistake or didn't think through this statement, I'm going to say it again. You need to rejoice in the Lord always. And let me turn over here to Philippians chapter 4. I'm not sure I could quote every bit of that, but that's Philippians chapter 4. And in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. You know, if you listened to my program yesterday, I was talking out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, about casting all of your care over on the Lord. And man, I don't want to go and just spend my whole time on that, but if you are careful, if you're burdened down, if you're just so overwhelmed with something, this says, be careful for nothing in any situation. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't be careful. Don't be overwhelmed about anything. And I know that there's many people just thinking that is impractical. There are people that feel 100% justified in being depressed. And they say, but you don't understand what happened to me. You know, I remember a time that I had a woman come to me, and this woman was living in a terrible situation. She'd been through three divorces, and her present husband had told her he was going to divorce her. So this would have been her fourth divorce. She had been an alcoholic. She was poor. I actually went over to her house, and I mean, some of you think I'm exaggerating, but you could throw an animal through the wall of her house. It was just boards, and they had warped, and there were places that you could have thrown a squirrel or something through that door. It was terrible poverty. This woman had all kinds of things wrong. And she came to me, and she says, "I'm not a Christian, but I know that faith works. Would you please pray? My husband said he's going to divorce me." And she had tried to kill herself the day before, thought that was the only way out. And this was her first day back at work. And she said, "Would you please pray that I wouldn't get a divorce?" And she says, "I'm not a Christian, but I know prayer works. Please pray for me." And she was just crying. And I told this woman, I said, "Now let me make sure I understood this. You aren't a Christian, and you realize that you aren't a Christian." And she said, "Yes." And I said, "If you were to die right now, you'd go to hell." And she said, "Yes, I would." And I said, "And you want me to pray that your marriage will last, but you don't want me to pray with you that you'd be born again." And she said, "Well, yeah." And I just told this lady, I said, "Lady, you got it all wrong." I said, "Man, who gives a rip about your marriage? You're headed to a Christless eternity. You're talking about spending all eternity in hell." I said, "You need to get saved, first of all." And it's just like I slapped this woman. She quit crying, and she looked at me, and she says, "I think you're right." And I prayed with her, and this woman got born again. And then after she got born again, I prayed with her about her marriage. I'm not saying God didn't care, but see, some people would say, "But if you're going through a divorce, you can't rejoice." Yes, you can. If nothing else, if you are born again, if everybody else forsakes you, God said that He's engraving you upon the palms of His hand. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So even if your mate is leaving you, you could say, "Father, thank you that you'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You're with me always, even unto the end of the world." And you know, you could take the scripture that Jesus said in heaven, they don't marry nor are given in marriage. And you could say, "Thank you, Jesus. This is only temporary. I'm not going to be dealing with these relational problems throughout all eternity." You still got things to praise God about if you're going through a divorce. If the doctor tells you you're going to die, you should still be rejoicing. We go to church and sing, "When we all get to heaven, what a day that's going to be." And then the doctor tells you you're going there and you start crying. Something's wrong with this. Now, I'm not saying you should just accept sickness. I believe that you can be healed. But if worse happens, the worst thing that could happen to you is you die and go to be with Jesus. Man, if you're struggling in finances, I believe God wants to prosper you. And I can share with you through the Word of God how to prosper. But even if you never saw prosperity in this life, you've got a mansion in heaven that God's been building for you. It only took Him 6 days to create this heavens, the universe, the earth, and everything that we see. He's been working on our mansions for 2,000 years. Imagine what they're going to be like. Man, you got reason to be rejoicing. I don't care what happens in your life. There is a way to praise God. So, you need to enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You need to enter into His courts with praise. You need to be thankful unto Him and bless His name. You need to rejoice in the Lord always. Cast your care over on the Lord so that you are careful about nothing. And I don't care about what your situation is. You need to come before God and you need to start praising Him. And I know some of you think, "Well, I don't feel like it." That's the problem. You're letting your feelings dominate you instead of your faith. I'm not saying that we don't have feelings that are negative sometimes, but I'm never going to let a negative emotion dominate me. When I was told, my oldest son called me at 4:15 in the morning on March the 4th, 2001, and told me that my youngest son, Peter, was dead. And I guarantee you, when I heard that, I started having all of these negative emotions. But I just was refusing to let my emotions dominate me. I don't deny that I had them. I don't deny that I have emotions. I'm not trying to be like Spock, for those of you that are into Star Trek, and be emotionless. I have emotions, but I am not going to let emotions control me. I'm going to control my emotions. And so when I started having all of this fear and sadness and grief and all of these negative emotions, I just commanded them to leave, and I started praising God. I didn't feel like praising God. But you know, there's so many scriptures. I'm having to run through things quickly. But in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." And verse 7 says, "Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." The abounding therein is talking about you abound in faith with thanksgiving. If you can't thank God, if you can't praise God, then your faith is not strong. I'm not saying that you don't have faith, but your faith is weakened by all of these emotions. And you just have to sit there and start praising God. So I started praising God, even though my son had died. He'd been dead over 4 hours. And I started praising God. And when I started praising God, man, it's just like in your spirit, you've got God living, you've got faith, you've got victory, you've got everything in your spirit, but you got to get it out. And praise is like a bucket that you stick in a well and it just draws out that life that's in that well. I had the life of God in me, but I also have this physical body and a soul, and I was feeling negative things, discouragement, depression, fear, grief, on and on. But I just started drawing out this life. And when I started praising God, the power of God manifests. God showed me some things. I actually started laughing. And I told Jamie, this is going to be the greatest miracle we've ever seen. And sure enough, when we got into the Springs, it was an hour and something later, we got into Colorado Springs. My oldest son met me at the door and he said, "I don't know what happened, but right after I called you, Peter just sat up and started talking." He'd been dead over 4 hours. He was stripped naked, had a toe tag on, in a cooler, in a freezer, in a morgue, dead between 4 and 5 hours, and sat up and started talking. And praise God, he's alive and well today and functioning and smart. And everything's working. And did you know praise was a vital part of that? And it's the same thing for you. Praise will focus your attention for you to pray. If the doctor tells you you're going to die, you're going to have to take your attention off of what the doctor says and off of the negative. You're going to have to quit planning your funeral and what songs they're going to sing and what they're going to say about you. You're going to have to quit thinking like that, and you're going to have to either start seeing yourself getting well because of the promise of God, or even if you die, you're going to be in the glory, and you're going to have to refocus your attention away from the problem and put it on God if you are going to enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, even when you're in a bad situation. So this is how praise and thanksgiving affects you. It changes your focus. I guarantee you, if you've got a problem that is occupying your thinking, and if you can't get your mind, if you can't cast your care about it over on the Lord, then you aren't going to see victory. Jesus, even the night before His crucifixion in John chapter 14, He told His disciples just hours before He was arrested, before they would see Him crucified and they would flee for their life, He told them, "Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." And how did He do that? He says, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so you know what He did? They were fixing to experience a lot of really negative things. They were going to see Him arrested, unjustly, tried, and then crucified, suffered, buried. It was going to look like all of their hopes and everything was gone. So there wasn't anything in the natural that was positive. So what did He do? He says, "In My Father's house are many mansions." If you can't see anything good in this life, then close your eyes and think about heaven. And think about that if worse comes to worse, you're going to be forever in heaven. You know, I believe that this nation is experiencing a third great awakening. And I could spend a lot of time on that. The 10 Spies Network isn't reporting that. You aren't going to hear that on the Communist News Network. But I guarantee, I believe God's moving. But even if you can't see it, if nothing else, God is coming back. The battle isn't over. And I guarantee you, every wrong, every woke person, every person who's promoting transgenderism and mutilating and abusing children and all of this stuff, someday they're going to stand before God and all of their wokeness is going to be gone and they are going to have to give an answer. God is going to set every wrong right and we are going to live for eternity. And see, even if you can't see any good thing, you can always go to thinking about heaven. I believe that that's what Jesus was telling His disciples when He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. He was trying to get them to look beyond the immediate problem. He wound up that same dissertation that started in John chapter 14, verse 1, and in John chapter 16, verse 33, He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. And this was just moments before He was arrested. He could have said, in the next 30 minutes, you're going to have tribulation. But then He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And so it didn't matter about what happened. Even as bad as the crucifixion and the beating and everything was, they could have looked past that. He even said in John chapter 16, verse 1, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They didn't have to be offended. He gave them everything that they needed that they could have survived the arrest, the crucifixion, the death, the burial. They could have been looking towards Sunday morning and the resurrection. He told them 8 times that He would be resurrected from the dead. But nonetheless, they focused on the negative and they went through 3 days of grief, fear, worry, and all of these things. It was unnecessary. They didn't have to do it. And most people who think, well, man, you're just in denial. Well, I am in denial that all there is what I feel and what I see. There is much more. God has promised us ultimate victory. And if I don't see victory in this life, I'm going to see it in eternity. And He's also given me promises about victory in this life. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. So I can see victory in this life. It says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, that Jesus gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world, not just the one to come, but this present evil world. I'm telling you, you can rejoice. If I could rejoice at the death of my son when I felt like crying and falling apart, and yet if I could choose to do that, you can choose to do it. The Lord would be unjust to tell His disciples not to let your heart be troubled. Be of good cheer. The night before His crucifixion, most people today would say, that's unfair. He shouldn't have told them to do that. You need to vent. You need to indulge these emotions. You don't need to suppress them. I'm telling you, you do need to suppress negative emotions and fear and doubt and unbelief. And you need to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. It will change your focus and it'll get your focus off of the negative and it'll get you to praising God about the positive. You know, I had a 35 millimeter camera. I remember going to the zoo and you would focus through the lens of that thing. And when you went to the zoo, they would have this chain link fence between you and the animal. But if you would focus beyond the fence and look at the animal and focus, then the animal would come into focus and the chain link fence would just totally disappear. Or you could focus on the fence and the animal in the background would just disappear. Did you know your mind is like that? You can focus on your problem, and if you do, then God and His provision disappear, and all of the victory that He's provided just disappears. But if you focus on God and His provision, then your problems will disappear. I'm not saying that they cease to exist, but you won't be dominated by them. You won't be focused on them. And Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." Your life is going the direction of your dominant thought. I believe I could even say the direction of your focus, what you're focusing your thoughts on. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "The Lord will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon Him, because he trusteth in Him." And so how do you get your mind stayed upon Him instead of your problem? Instead of talking about the finances and they're coming to repossess my house, my car, nothing's working. How am I going to survive? They told me I'm going to die. How do you get your mind off of this? Praise and worship will force you to take your mind off of the negative and put it on the positive of God's Word. I tell you that is priceless. And that's the reason that the Bible says, with thanksgiving, you let your request be made known unto God. You should never be so overwhelmed by any problem that you just come in a sense, just throw up all of your unbelief on God. And, oh, God, here's what the doctor said. Here's what the physical is. And you just throw out your problems. Now, God loves you And He has grace and mercy, but that is not the way He told us to approach Him. He told us to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." You say that before you say, "Give us this day our daily bread." He told you to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. In Psalms 34, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. For I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." That's the way you're supposed to enter the Lord, at all times. I'm saying this, I'm being strong with it, but I'm saying it out of compassion. I'm not mad at you. I'm just mad at the devil and the way that he has convinced people that we need to give in to all of these negative emotions. We need to embrace all of our frailties. I'm not saying that you deny that they exist, but I deny that that's all there is. I'm also a born-again person, and I've got the power of God living on the inside of me. I've got promises that I'm going to win, that thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, is what the Scripture says. And because of that, I am going to thank God, and I'm going to praise Him. I don't care what I feel like, and I don't care what the situation is like. You know, I had some things happen. I won't go into what they were, but it made worldwide news. And Paul Harvey said that this was the worst thing that he had ever heard. And did you know, the very next day, my staff came out and they said, "You can't minister in school today." And I said, "Why not?" They said, "We heard what happened." And I said, "Well, I'm not going to tell people what happened to me. I'm not going to sit here and tell them how I feel. I'm going to tell them about Jesus." I said, "He hadn't changed." And I got up and I went in and I ministered all 4 hours in school that day. Some people see you can't do that if something bad has happened to you. Man, I'm not ministering out of my flesh. I'm ministering out of who I am in Christ, and that doesn't fluctuate based on what's happening to me. I know some of you think I'm weird, but I think you're weird to have all of this available to you and not take advantage of it.
Thank you so much for listening to the Miracle Channel podcast. We hope you enjoyed the message. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes, and stay tuned for new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.